Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, talking all things cricket, from club cricket to million-pound franchises to the Test Match Arena, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.
Hey up, it's week 18, episode 18. It's been another wet one, but we've seen a bit more cricket, so we've got something a little bit to talk about this week, so Little bit more interesting than just hearing us three Bazzers talking. Well, I say three Bazzers, there's only two of us tonight. Three Bazzers talking about what we do and don't like and who we do and don't like. Before we get started, as always, big shout out to supporters Woodstock. Make sure you use our discount code on their website and get hold of some of the best kit around. They came one and two in the good gear guide, so I don't think it gets much better than that. So you may as well get on and using our discount code. No point spending more money than you need to. Right, Jono, it's only me and you because Aid's getting pissed down the club.
Don't blame me.
Sundays aren't good for him. Not because he's got work or anything. No, because Sundays is his day to get pissed, which I guess is fair enough. Absolutely. But how are you, Jono, or didn't I ask?
Don't ask, mate. Move on.
So, Jono got a game yesterday, Jono and Aid, but I don't think it was it. A happy visit out to the moorlands, was it?
Cricket shit, mate, this week.
Cricket shit. Cricket was shit for us because we didn't even get play, mate. We stood in the rain for 2 hours. And some debatable groundsmanship, I think it'd be fair to say as well.
I just threw it out there that I don't know whether some people have got, like, what's the word, telepathy or what, but I've just received two text messages in the space of 30 seconds saying, don't forget to mention me. Don't forget to mention me. Those people, you're not getting mentioned. Not happening. It's not happening.
Yeah, I've had a few people in the club saying, why haven't I got a mention yet? I took a wicket last week. It's like, that'd be funny. You're going to have to do a bit more than getting a wicket or two to get a mention.
Who's the lad that I think I like? What's his name? I want to say Ollie.
Ollie Wilson. He did have Ollie a good Wilson. Day yesterday. He will get
he had a good day. Was he good at cricket this week?
He was very good at cricket this week.
Ollie Wilson, if you're listening to this, mate, right, if you're listening to this, I've got complete faith in you. You can bat and ball where you want at Bignallen, mate. run the show as far as I'm concerned. All right.
He'd also agree with you on your viewpoint about your opposition that you played yesterday, because they're one of his least favourite clubs, to say the least, mate.
No comment.
No comment. Fucking hell, like line of duty. Right, we'll talk, before we get on to the joys of staff's cricket, a bit of world cricket news. Big one today, Geoff Archer's out of the New Zealand test. I think me and you are looking a bit like Mystic Meg, aren't we? I've predicted that he won't play red ball after the Ashes. Are you not even giving him the Ashes before he's out?
I'm not giving him the Ashes, mate. I don't think he'll make it. And I solely base this on the fact that I watch quite. I think we might have mentioned this when we had Stephen Croft, but I watch a lot of like American sport and like baseball, especially. And elbows, mate, are a funny thing. So much so that I actually got inspired one time to read a book on it. So I have actually read quite a good book about elbows and elbow injuries. And I think he's fucked. So in my professional, non-doctorate opinion, he's fucked.
He's fucked. Well, yeah. I think it's looking that way. The injections clearly aren't working, so you can only imagine that an operation is the way it goes. Or
hasn't he already had a clear-out operation?
So I think it's not looking good for him, is it? I think, as I say, I've been saying for the last probably 4 or 5 months that I think he plays the Ashes because we're desperate. Probably doesn't even finish the Ashes. He becomes white ball specialist. But as you say, I think now it's starting to look. Can he even make it to the Ashes? If the injection isn't working, I dare say not, which is a shame because I don't think it's for a want to try. And he's chosen to miss the IPL and stuff to try and get fit for Red Bull, but don't think the body's allowing it. Which I think we can all agree that sometimes the body doesn't allow you to do what you want it to do.
Correct. I can vouch for that.
So Joffre started off well, to be fair to him, in the game for Sussex. Got Zach Crawley out amongst others, but yeah, not good for him elsewhere in the
county. That was an absolute trimmer, by the way, for anyone who hasn't seen it.
Also, the one where he put someone on their arse was particularly enjoyable to see. Don't quite know how the bloke managed to not get sconed by it, to be fair to him.
I just want to know how he's like gone from, what does he bowl? He bowled 19 overs in the first innings and 3 in the second. So
yeah,
if that's a gradual thing, I'd be worried. But if that's been hurting him, why carry on? He's bowled 22 overs. It's not a bad stint in a game, really, 22. No.
Yeah, it is worrying, isn't it? Is he trying to force himself through it, or is it? Does it just suddenly come on? Don't know. Not an elbow doctor like you, though, Jono. So I'm sure you can have a little word with Joffre and work it out for him, can't you, mate?
Elbow surgery is that fascinating, mate, that they actually named a surgery out of the first guy who kind of had one.
Ooh.
Tommy John surgery, if anyone knows what
Tommy John surgery.
Anyone wants an interesting book? There's a book called The Arm. That's what it's called. It's just called The Arm. Really interesting read if anyone fancies a bit of literature. That's if any of our regular listeners can read.
yeah.
Certainly the ones I related to and I know from my own club who do listen along probably won't affect you, so just don't bother. Just listen in. I'm sure there's an audiobook somewhere on Spotify or Apple Music that you could tune into if that's more of your game. Certainly aid. It's pointless. It's a good job he's in, really, because he might point him in the direction of the audiobook as well. Maybe Stephen Fry is doing it for him, reading it. In a nice nighttime voice.
It would suit Ollie Wilson as well, weirdly.
God loves a trier, Ollie Wilson. God loves a trier.
He'll be listening to him in his van while he's delivering his electrical goods. I bet he can't wait. Durham got a win against Worcestershire.
Not the biggest news of their game, mate.
Do you want to make the biggest news? Come on.
I want to make the biggest news a shout out to the most economical bowler I've ever seen in my life, Chris Rushworth. Well bowled, that man. That's all I want to say.
Is it 500 odd wickets now? 576,
something. He's absolutely sconned everyone. He's a poor man's Darren Stevens because he's a little thinner, a little bit taller, and he bowls just a little bit quicker. But I'm all up for an old and baldy. a good old and a good baldy always goes far, doesn't it?
Ah, it does, mate. Essex won by an innings over Derbyshire, I think. It's fair to say Derbyshire took a bit of a battering there. A lot of runs up top for Essex. 412 for 3 declared. Pretty good going, that. Glamorgan, Yorkshire finished in a draw. Marnus Labuschagne can't buy a run.
I mean, it was great, isn't it?
It's lovely. The only issue is that I'd rather him be having this in about 6 months' time. I feel like it's... Hopefully it stays.
Yeah, hopefully it mentally fucks him for the rest of his career. He can't play in England.
Gamble, hope. Somerset, Surrey was more or less a complete washout. They didn't even get a full innings in there. And then Sussex Kent was a draw as well. Plenty of rain about. Internationally, BJ Watling's retiring. I would say possibly one of the most underrated Test cricketers.
Underrated, yeah. Elite, who were that?
Brilliant, brilliant keeper. Brilliant
batsman. Deceptively old, by the way.
Would you say so? I've got to agree, to be fair. I didn't. When I heard he's at first, I was like, sure, he's only early 30s.
Yeah, 35. Doesn't look 35. He's obviously had a very kind paper round, or he lives by the sea or something.
I reckon everyone looks young in New Zealand, mate. Looks like
No. Disagree. Neil Wagner looks fucked.
Ah, true, yeah. Neil Wagner, yeah.
Yeah, he is. Like, he's 35 as well, and he's fucked.
But he'll keep going, and he'll keep bouncing. Bet he'll bounce out a few of the England lads. Obviously, India, New Zealand's coming up, so BJ Watling's retiring after the World Test Championship final. And obviously the mini tour that they've got of England, where they play England twice. Any viewpoints on who's going to win that yet, or think it's going to have to be a case to see what the AGS pitch is like and see what both teams pick?
I'll go out on a limb already and say that I want New Zealand to win. But having seen that India squad announcement, hard to look past them. If they were playing England in England, I'd go, I still fancy England. But the fact that they're not playing England and they're playing someone else on a neutral venue, I'm struggling to look past them. They could field two full sides that I think could potentially beat New Zealand, which is a bit of a worry if I was from New Zealand.
Yeah, I think India have got...
Probably what massive overpopulation does for you.
Yeah, probably so.
If you've got four billion people to choose from, you're bound to find 20 decent cricketers, aren't you?
You would hope so, but it doesn't help you in a COVID crisis, it turns out.
No, it doesn't, but fucking Big Nolan's a really small, really, really small place, mate, and we still managed to find 22 pipes to play for us on a Saturday, so Billy's cricket is strong in the parish.
Up the parish. Speaking of who's technically better out of India, New Zealand, India still top of the test rankings several years in a row now. They've won the Mace. But weirdly, England went above Australia without playing a test match. Don't quite know how that works. I'm assuming it must be due with, is it after so long, your results from, say, a year ago or 2 years ago, the points aren't worth as much or something along those lines? I don't really get
it. I'm not going to try and explain the unexplainable, mate, but the World Test Championship rankings and the actual ICC rankings are beyond bonkers. So there's no point. You're asking for a rational answer to a totally irrational league table. Move on.
That is true. Sort of related to the Aussies, two big stories, neither of them positive, so you're going to be over the moon, Jono.
Thrilled.
First of all, the apparent fight in the Maldives in a bar between David Warner and Michael Slater. What a pisser. Michael Slater just went, no, we're friends. David Warner, I think the quote was something along the lines of, you can't prove it, you've got no concrete evidence, so you can't write it. Not just, no, it didn't happen like Michael Slater, it was, you haven't got any concrete evidence, so you can't write it. Gave away to me that maybe they had a little bit of a disagreement.
Well, that's just, if one of them hadn't have got, if both of them had got a non-checkered past, I'd say, yeah, probably nothing in it. But being the fact that one of them is an absolute weapon and a half, and they're both Australian, which is obviously a massive culminating factor in all this.
Of course.
Probably tells me that it's 100% true.
Wow.
Now, I wasn't there, but I'm willing to put my neck on the line and say, absolutely, they had a full-on dust-up.
Well, let's be honest, it's not David Warner's first time, is it? We all know about Walkabout and Joe Root, so
it's not his first rodeo when this comes to light. It's not even the best Australian news of the week, though, is it?
Well, no, because the best Australian news for me was Cameron Bancroft's great interview, I think it was The Telegraph, where he basically comes out and says, it doesn't take a genius, lads, to work out that the bowlers probably knew that I was scratching the ball with sandpaper. Let's be honest, it was the most obvious thing in the world. I don't know, really think we needed Cameron Bancroft to tell us. But, wow, I mean, it doesn't put Cricket Australia in a good light, does it, to say the least?
One thing I will say, mate, though, is it's an absolute joy to finally find one. And what I mean by one is an honest Australian. I've never come across one before. But ladies and gentlemen, go and find Cameron Bancroft. Give that lad a pat on his sandpaper arse. Right. He is nothing if not honest. And also, he managed to put it across in a beautifully sarcastic Australian way.
Yeah. Like,
come on, lads. Let's get real. Of course they knew. What do you think? Of course they knew.
Yeah. I mean...
I think that's the point everyone's kind of like missed. We've been throwing the bucket. Warner, Smith and Bancroft, and I reckon Bancroft was, he was the junior, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was pushed into it, clearly, I would say.
Absolutely. But I know nothing about a cricket ball. I stand there with a box on a Saturday and basically show it to everyone else to pick a cricket ball for me. So I know, I've no idea what I'm doing. I know loads of ways to cheat with a cricket ball. I've never, ever, ever been like... tempted to do anything like sandpaper. Don't get me wrong, everyone knows the old mint on one side of the ball, certain types of chewing gum, a bit of Mr. Sheen sprayed on your trousers at certain points in the summer, certain types of sun cream. Alright, I've played against some, or played with some overseas professionals who may or may not have very, very long fingernails.
The classic.
And also have some very odd foreign substances that they need for look in their pockets, shall we say. No, I've never been tempted to literally cut the fuck out the cricket ball. That has never, ever crossed my mind.
The bit that gets me is that obviously it's come out just as they're still talking about maybe Smith should have be given the go before the Ashes. Maybe it should happen. Well, that's just, again, put the wound in on Smith, because you're not going to give him the job. But then, Pat Cummins, he was one of the bowlers. He's meant to be the Mr. Goody Two-Shoes that they're all saying he's going to be the next test skipper. Puts a little bit of a warning sign over him, surely, because you've now got Bancroft saying the bowler's new. Pat Cummins knew, surely. So there is no longer a senior member of that team who can be remotely considered squeaky clean. So it's what they do with it, I guess.
That won't fucking bother them, will it?
Well, I don't think it'll bother a lot of the Aussies, but the ones who are desperate for this elite honesty, as Justin Langer likes to call it.
Yeah, facade.
Just a little bit. Right, before we get into North Staff's action, the England Test squad versus New Zealand should be announced this week.
Mm-hmm. You're going to have to pick one, aren't you?
While it's been suggested that the IPL players won't play now, sort of originally said it'd be up to the players, because they said certain players need overs in them, so Chris Wokes was the example. Others maybe needed some time to actually do some training sessions, because basically they'd have a couple of days training then be playing the Test match, was the argument. But it now seems as if Ashley Giles has changed his mind a little bit and said, actually, no IPL players. So, would you pick any IPL players to begin with?
Selfishly, yes, because I want to see us do okay. And I want us to put our best side out, because it'll be a really good test, because they'll be anxious to get warm for their big series. So, I think that would be really good test match practice leading up into the Ashes. However, from a personal point of view, I think it's wrong that we're even playing the series in the first place, personally.
Well, yeah.
We mentioned that at the time that it was announced, didn't we, in the winter?
Yeah.
So I would be giving as much time off to as many of the players as I possibly could, especially those who've been overseas for long periods of time. The issue is, all they're going to do if they don't play is they're going to be back playing for the county anyway, so they're going to be in a bubble, travelling along, not at home. I think I listened to Billy Root's interview with Joe on Joe Root. I mean, I've just broken a rule there. I've just called him Joe. I don't actually know him.
You're making.
I'm not on first name terms with him. I just meant because I'd already mentioned the name Root. So Billy and Joe Root. And they were saying that they actually used the game against each other this week as like bonding time. Because the last time that they actually spoke to each other in person was over 12 months ago.
Yeah, it's mad.
And they're both in their respective bubbles, but they were allowed to obviously cross over with them playing the game. So it was the first time they'd spent any time together in over 12 months. That's absolutely like beyond comprehension to me. So I would be giving as much time off as I possibly could. I'd be getting a look at some people, to be honest. I'd be getting a look at the likes of Ollie Robinson. I'd be getting another look at the likes of Dan Lawrence. Who else would I be having in? James Bracey, friend of the pod, been in good nick. And I'd have people like Lawrence, have said Pope, and if he went to coming back from injury, I'd get in again. I might even chuck someone like Ollie Pope the captaincy, do you know what I mean? A future England, he's probably a future England captain, isn't he, in about 5 to 10 years time,
if he's had
a long England career. Then don't get me wrong, I'm not a selector, but let's put this in club cricket terms. I'd be ringing up the lads because we're playing a friendly. It's essentially a competitive friendly, isn't it? Saying, who wants a knock? Do you want a knock? Dom Sibley, you've been away for 12 months. Do you want a knock? Yes, please, boss. Right, sound you're in. Chris Wokes, not played a lot of cricket, but he's been away a long time. I'd be very wary of that one.
Yeah.
Sam Curran, played in and out cricket, but been away a long time. So I'd be tempted, but then I think my views on the fact that we shouldn't be playing anyway and the amount of time that they've been away, I'd be very, very, very wary of playing
with
top flight players.
Yeah, I think that's pretty what I feel like. I understand it's a test match and so people want to see the best team, but as you say, people have been away for a long time. I know it was their choice and all that, but it wasn't their choice that England decided they're going to throw two extra tests in when they did to try and earn a bit more money. So, yeah, I'm the opinion you give people a rest. And I don't think we want to be into the Ashes, knowing that you're going to have to take probably a squad of 20-odd. You don't want to be taking a squad of 20-odd and saying there's 10 of them that have never played a test for England. You want to be giving, surely, James Bracey, Ollie Robinson, who I'm sure will be going to the Ashes because they're the next cab off the rank sort of thing. You don't want them going without having played a test. So, yeah, I'm in agreement. What 11 would you actually pick then for that first test? Can you actually put it down? Get the old BBC Sport app up. Look for the names on there.
Let me get a pen and paper out and, oh God, pen and paper are here. Let's see where we go. So, right, paper. Is that paper? That's not paper. Can't use that one. Oh, Christ, you've rushed me now.
Sorry, mate. Now.
This is a question I was not expecting. I am...
Tell someone didn't read the episode notes, I'll tell them.
No, I told you, mate, today I don't like... Ooh, this is nice. This is literally like a 1 to 11. This looks a bit like a team sheet. That'll do.
Can I just
dob myself in for an absolute disgrace? I handed my team sheet into the umpires this week with 10 names on.
Oh, wow.
And I was on there. Name number one, mate. I was the third on the list. So, big apologies to Seb Hopwood. poor Seb, he missed off altogether. I write my team sheet out on, I know this is daring in club cricket, but I write mine out on a Friday night.
Wow.
When I pack my bag, just to make sure I've got everything. So I'm a bit anal about it. I lay all my stuff out to make sure I've got it all for the next day. And I only wrote 10 names on. So,
wow.
I'm embarrassed. Right. My 11.
You opening with?
Rory Burns.
You know what? I was agreeing with you and going against Burns, but he started scoring some runs again in the county championship, so I think I'd agree with Burns.
I read an article the other day that said he got 52 on an absolute disgraceful wicket, and it was probably worth 152 anywhere else. So I thought to myself, I like that. So he can go in. He will be opening the batting with Dominic Sibley.
Yeah, I'm agreement there.
At number three will be Zach Crawley.
Okay.
At number four will be Ollie Pope.
No Rooty.
Nope, he's being rested.
Wow, brave move.
At number five will be Dan Lawrence.
Yeah.
At six is James Bracey.
Okay.
At seven is Ben Foulkes, and he will be keeping wicket.
Interesting.
At eight, I'm going to go with Chris Wokes.
Putting him in?
Oh, yeah, I'm getting him in. He's been to an IPL, barely played. He probably will fancy a game of cricket. At nine, I've got Dom Bess.
Dom Bess?
Bess is in.
Wow, I wasn't going to play a spinner, I'll be honest with you.
Is that just because it's rained for a couple of weeks? Or
that, and it's...
Have you got a better theory?
And it's Lorge and Edgbaston, and I'm just like, yeah. I'm going to play Joe Root, so he's going to be my spinner, see?
Well, I think we've firmly established that he's not a frontline spinner, but okay.
yeah.
Right, here we go.
The enjoyment factor.
And then 10 and 11, I've got Ollie Stone.
Yeah.
And Ollie Robinson.
Wow.
The two Ollies, but spelt differently. Oh, well, three Ollies, actually. Two of them spelt right. So, 1 to 11, I've got Burns, Sibley, Crawley, Pope, Lawrence, Bracey, Foulkes, it's keeping wicket, Wokes, Bess, Stone, Robinson, and... Rory Burns is captioning that side.
Wow. I'm going to go different. I'm going to go Rory Burns.
Okay.
I'm going to go Dom Sibley if fit. If there's any worries about his finger.
He's hurt his hand, hasn't he? Forgot about that.
Yeah, so if there's any worries about his finger, then it's Zach Crawley.
Okay.
Number three, I'm going to go James Bracey.
Okay.
Four Root. Five Lawrence. Six Pope. This is the issue bit.
Seven.
I am I said I wasn't going to do it, but you know what? I'm going to have Wokes at 7.
Ooh.
Am I? Yeah, go on, fuck it, why not? 8, Ollie Robinson.
It is.
This is getting too long a tale, actually. Tell a lie. Folks are going to come at 7, we'll have Wokes at 8. We'll
okay.
The tale's too long, I'm getting scared. Just thinking about it.
So do you want Robinson at 9, then?
I'm going to go Robinson at 9.
Yeah, 10 and 11.
The thing is it should be Jimmy and Broad.
No, mate.
It should be, because
they're not dusting the boots. They're not dusting the boots off for a goal.
I'm going to say that they're going to go Ollie Stone and Stuart Broad, and they're going to give Jimmy an extra couple of weeks because he missed the first few weeks of the season, so he'll play the second test, will Jimmy?
So I've gone for a very experimental team. You've gone for a not very experimental team.
Yeah, just two debutants I've gone for. But if they're not picking Wokes, I have absolutely no clue who you pick at number 8 to be.
Bess.
Well, possibly
Bess
so.
Bess or Curran, I think.
But then you wouldn't. If Wokes isn't playing, Sam Curran isn't going to play, is he? So it's going to be an interesting one, to say the least. Right, we'll go for a quick advert now with Woodstock, and we'll come back just after. And we'll go through all the North staff's action. So have a little listen to this. Make sure you use our code THIRDMAN25, and we'll be back in 2 seconds.
Looking for a new cricket equipment partner for yourself or your club can sometimes be tricky. With so many options to choose from, how do you make the right choice? When you want quality, value, and service, there really is only one place to start. For more than a decade, Woodstock Cricket have been producing award-winning, high-performance cricket bats from their Shropshire workshop. Matched with their classy soft goods, luggage and accessories, Woodstock Cricket really do tick all the boxes. Get in touch with Woodstock Cricket and find out why many loyal clubs, players and international customers can't be wrong at info@woodstockcricket.co.uk.
Welcome back, guys. I'm sure after hearing Toby Tarrant's lovely voice like he would on Radio X in the morning, I'm sure you'll definitely be getting on that Woodstock website and getting yourself some kit ordered. Remember, THIRDMAN25 to get some kit off them. And remember, if you want to go out for a drink now, you can get in the pub. Go and use a Robinson's pub. Keep Nick happy at Robinson's for us. Always a good pub. Always some good beer on offer, as I'm sure Jono will agree. And Jono is the man I'm going to hand over to now, because it's North staff's action time. And that's enough. There's nothing Jono loves more than a bit of North staff's action. Honest.
Correct. well done, first and foremost, to almost, after speaking to the league this afternoon, almost all the teams were actually managing to get the scores on. Because I understand, I've been told that Play Cricket was down for 3 hours last night. So the person who does our scores was trying for about three and a half hours to get our score on. So fair dues to all the people who upload theirs or live score theirs. Much obliged.
Do you want to start with the Play Cricket fuck-up from yesterday, by the way?
No, we'll come to it. We'll come to it. No. Because I think it was the talk of our game for about an hour and a half, because we were in the midst of a rain delay, so it was the only thing we had to talk about. Shall we start in the Prem, mate?
We may as well, aren't we? Start at the top.
Okay, then. So, Cheadle beats Ashcombe Park. Ashcombe Park 113 out, all out off 45, basically. Well batted, lads. And Cheadle knocked them off in, well, knocked a revised total off of 59 or 54 in 5 overs.
They were quite a few down. I'm looking at Ashcombe Park and I'm thinking, Ross Whiteley still hasn't scored a run.
And I'm
desperate for him to score some runs, I'll be honest. Because I've always been a big fan.
Yeah, I just want to. It's a big ball as well, so I just fear it might be a case of someone's going to run into him on the wrong day and get a bit of a tatering. Ashcombe Park, though, on paper, that's a really good side, so it's a bit of a surprise to me to see them struggling, I'll be honest.
Yeah.
But yeah, Cheadle, Ali Khan, the pro, opened up. I know he doesn't normally open. 51 off 24, well batted, my mate.
Yeah, 24 of the 34 balls is not a bad effort as well. Fair play to you.
And he also got 50. He got 51 of the 59 runs that they scored.
good effort.
Everyone else only contributed 7, and there was an extra.
Ain't his money there, mate.
Yeah, it's some. So Max Hill, and this is not a play cricket mistake. I don't know you, Max, and I don't know what you bowl or what you do, but he bowled 4 balls, and they all went for 6.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. I actually noticed that.
Yeah, 0.4 overs, none for 24, for an economy rate of 36.
It's
doing nothing for the average, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Bagnall Norton versus Stone looks like a rain reduced number here. So Bagnall Norton were 111 for 7 off 19 overs. Stone knocked them off for 4 in 16. Some good tight bowling from Stone. Mark Hulbert, 3 for 6 off 4, well bowled that man. George Harden again, he's had a great start for him. We said at the start of the season, bit of pressure on him. Lost some big players, but 4 for 18 off 4 is another great, great effort. Only 2 bowlers really got any kind of treatment, which in less than 20 overs is decent. So there was a 3 overs for 38 and 1 over for 19. Everyone else was less than runnable, which is bravo. Billowell, and that was clearly Billowell
batting. Billowell's had a go, hasn't he?
Yeah, he's had a bash down the order, 64 off 36 with 5 sixes. That's a good effort, my mate.
That's a lot of the total. Jesus.
Yes, it is. Over half. Not bad batting at, what did he bat? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7.
Fair.
Stone knocked them off reasonably comfortably. Sam Graham, captain, 64 off 51, guided the ship. And a couple of late bursts by John Cheadle, 16 off 18, and EJ Laverty with 27 off 12. Played against him when he was still in their second team a few years ago. I want to say either in a second team game or maybe our first in the cup. And he wasn't very old, only a teenager then. I think he might be early 20s now. Good player. I think he was on Derbyshire's books at the time.
Yeah.
We all said that day that he was going to be a good player.
I hate to tell you, Jono, he's still only 7. I think he's 18, maybe. He plays football for the football club at our ground and likes a drink on a Friday night. But played R1s last year, and I'm told was pretty sharp, shall we say.
Yeah, good player, in my opinion.
I think my cousins got bowled by him first ball and didn't actually see the ball.
Well batted, Mike, former Big Len legend.
So, yeah, I don't, quite decent by the sounds of it.
Yes, very much so. Didn't realise I was that young. Sorry for thinking you're an old bastard. the Bearsland boys beat Marshall and Alton quite comfortably. Marshall 89 all out. Bearsland knocked them off for 5. So a little bit of a wobble, but we got there in the end. We did the damage. Then Malik, 4 for 26. Well bowled, that man. Michael Brown with 2. Tom Bateson, 2 for 4 off 3. Very well bowled to that man. Sam Waterhouse, 2 for 12.
I think John O'Wally might want to go back to captaining the second team, but I don't think he'll be happy with his day.
No.
Sorry, Jono.
Yeah, that didn't come from me. had it not been for Dan Richardson really getting 30-odd later down, it might have been even less. There's a lot of single figures there. They give it a bit of a screw, though. They got a wicket first ball of the innings, did Marshall. But Sam Rowley and Tito chipped him, see him over the line, even with a few late wickets. That's sound. Rhodey, my mate Rhodey with a none off none. Good none. Lad.
Good mate, Rhodey.
Yeah, well ran Rhodey and ticking into the average there. check and leak was cancelled. Checkley had reached 73 for 1 off 17. I will say this, some of the clouds that passed us by, if one of them hit you, then you were in bad way. So not a surprise that we lost one or two games along the way. Longton dispatched of Whitmore quite comfortably. Whitmore 75 all out off 20 odd overs. Nothing really to write home about in their scorecard. And then Longton knocked them off for 2 in less than 20 overs. Pretty comfy win. 11 extras. That's not very good. Alex Coates is biffed 26 off 13. And other than that, it was a delightful day for all involved. Wickets for Longton.
2 each, yeah, I believe.
Yeah, share them out, lads. Why not? Big result of the day, though, mate. The game we all want to talk about. Poor Tiller still winless, is basically the summary. Good game, though, by the looks of things. 21 over game. Poor Tiller 164 for 4 off 21. I I'd back that at halfway, I'll be honest. Ryan Assett 55 off 35 and Louis Allison 45 off 29, Matt Coxon 42 off 30. It's a decent screw that. Can I just throw it out there that they were 62 for one, at which time Ryan Assett had got 52 of them. So
that's a decent effort.
So there. So what John was doing, former guest John Hancock was doing amongst that partnership, I don't know.
I don't think John's built for 2020 cricket looking at that 7 off 20 balls, 8.
No, but if he was happily just watching Ryan Assett play from the other end, then touche, happy days. Mickey's knocked it off with 2 balls to spare. Great chase. Simon McGarver. Didn't even realise he was still playing for Meekings, to be perfectly honest with you. I know he's proed before for Meekings seconds for a few years, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Didn't even realise he was still knocking about the Meekings teams. I haven't seen or heard of him playing in a couple of years. 62 off 42. Ben Maguire, typically brief. 40 off 25. And then Jack Hammond brought him home with 29 off 18. Big result there. Good game, though.
I look like a it. Proper thriller, which is
looks a good game. I like the looks of that game, and that's the big one from the Prem. So the table, other than Meekings slotting themselves up into mid-table now, is pretty much as you were. Ashcombe and Whitmore remain in the bottom two. Port Hill still out, just outside the bottom two, despite not winning a game. Does look a bit weird that Whitmore have won a game, Port Hill haven't, but they're
got
still
10
5 points,
didn't they, Port Hill?
Yeah,
10 still, points is quite a fair chunk, isn't it, when you only get 18 still, for a win.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you think of it like this, Port Hill are third bottom, haven't won a game, and they're still, they're 20 points, basically, off the top two. So it's only a 1-2 week swing, really.
Mm.
Longton, Stone and Cheadle leading the way. Longton and Stone are 3 from 4 and Cheadle 2 from 4, Burslem 2 from 4, Checkley 2 from 4. Longton and Stone, only teams that haven't lost. I know we predicted Longton to be there or thereabouts again this year, but pretty impressed by the way Stone have started. Hope they don't get too many holidays or anything this year. And the boys from Burslem, we're playing them on Sunday. We're going to see some of the lads that we know quite well. Titto in the paper in the week, which I did like. We want to win the title, so fair dues. They're there or thereabouts already. I did tip them to do all right if they get on a good run, so pleased with that. Will say this, though. Whitmore have won a game, yes. However,
Graham White won them that game. I think that's clear as well.
I'm not. Well, that's very pessimistic of you, even for me. Does look a bit of a struggle already for them pair, so they'll be anxious to get on with it. Should we move on to Division 1?
We may as well do, mate, haven't we?
Let's. Right. I'll save that one till last, because that's the talking point everyone wants.
Yeah.
Eccleshall, dispatched of Blyth quite comfortably. 30 over game, by the looks of things. Blyth won the toss and had a bat. They can't have won the toss and had a bat, because how could they have batted?
Play cricket's so, lying there too,
I think,
mate.
Play cricket's having its moments. I've been told there's quite a few moments going on. Eccleshall batted first, got 198. Good effort, that is, batting first off 30 overs. Feeder Hussein, 42. Matt Thomas, 42. And a couple of 20s even there.
Hey, Toby Degg got a wicket.
Toby Degg. Well done, Tobes.
He did go at 9 and over, though, which I must admit, I noticed a couple of people giving him a bit of stick on him, the old Twitter last night for...
Yeah, also 6 wides, Toby, that's wank. I did get I got a message through a friend of a friend between Toby and I, and I believe he did pass on a message that he doesn't want to take a bash in on the pod, but yeah, be better, Toby, be better. Be better at cricket, please, if you can.
TD coaching, though, mate, TD coaching. Yeah,
I don't know what that is, but happy to give it a shout-out if that's what it takes. and then Blyth ended up 109 for 7 off their 30, which is not enough, lads, if I'm honest. It's not enough. So, yeah, there we go. Well done to Eccleshall. Looking pretty strong. Looking pretty strong indeed. What have we got next? Hemi Sandyford. Looks an interesting one, this.
Mm.
So, Hemi... Oh, now, of course, this is a great time for play cricket to head south. Yeah, freeze and head south on me like it has been for the last 24 hours.
That was
Hemeath got stuck in, 108 all out off 24 overs. I bet you they thought they were a bit short there, because I'd have thought that, unless they were playing on a right wet one. Greg Prime 20-odd, Naz Ali 23, but other than that, not a lot to write home about. Some decent bowling figures there, though. Craig Lees 3 for 16, Mohammed Naveed 2 for 19, 2 for 13 for the pro. Yeah, not bad at all. Sandiford, however, had fancied the chances at halfway, and they were 64 for 6 after 17.5. So I can only presume they got a storm, came off, and they would have been well behind Duckworth Lewis, I'd imagine, with a scorecard like that. Really to write home about in their scorecard. But one thing that I will say, Majid Haq played for Hemheath, which, if you, no one knows who Majid Haq is, that's got to be the same Majid Haq that played for, it's got to be the Majid Haq that played for Scotland. Tell me.
Well, he got Haq. 3 wickets, mate.
He's got to be Majid Haq.
Fucking hell, 3 wickets for 8 runs off 5 overs. That's a decent day in the office.
We have actually played, he sub-proved for Kidsgrove a couple of years ago. I believe he comes under Longy's agency. I don't know what Hemi's pro situation is, but yeah, Majid Haq obviously filling in for him. Not much of a batsman, I will say that, but proper hard to get away, so it doesn't surprise me, especially on a wet one. So another good result for Hemheath, and I'm sure Sandiford will be rueing a chance missed.
Looks like Sandiford had a couple of players missing, because the lad who got me out for their seconds last week was playing, so they must have been...
You could make an argument that they thought to yourself, you know what, if he got Ash Turner out, he deserves a day in the face, but...
Yeah, they saw the picture and the centre-of-my stump line on its side, and thought, he's way to go.
Thanks very much to Travers, by the way, when you listen to this, for filling our group chat with entertainment there.
Yeah, cheers.
Doesn't get a picture for getting 50, his first ever senior 50, but we get one of getting his stumps rearranged. Alwyth flexing their promotion might, or the promotion ambitions once again. Leeseet stuck Alwyth in, 138 for 8 of 22. Not bad on a wet day, but I reckon Leeseet has felt in the game, especially with some of the plays on their side. Andrew Cooper 2 for 25, Matt Johnson 4 for 23, though it's a great effort in basically what's a 2020.
Good lad matters as well, to be fair to him.
And Leeseet, I reckon they'll be disappointed. Speaky, Dave Speakman 46 off 34 with 6 sixes, that's a good effort.
Love that.
Dan Redfern, Red is 38, run a ball 38 with a couple of sixes as well. I believe the pro failed for them, three or five, they'd have been disappointed by that. Fell just short in the end, 132 for 9, so they ended up 6 short. But that's another good game. Looks a good game. I'd like to have had a watch at that. Wicket shared round, really, for Alwyth. I will say this, though. Mike Holt, who, although advancing in years, I'd say is still one of the hardest bowlers to get away in all of the leagues, especially on a wet day. Leeseet have done incredibly well to get 9.5 and over off him. Yeah. I don't care if he bowled 2 overs. That's a good effort.
Very,
very, very good effort. Little Stoke ending. I know we tried our best to kind of G up Little Stoke ready for this week, but I'm afraid he didn't work.
I mean, I'll give a shout out to Twiggy and a shout out to Ben Green. Two lads got double figures this week, so there's improvements happening, mate. There's improvements happening.
Two lads managed to make it to double figures for Little Stoke this week, and I'm sure they won't mind us saying that, because we at Bignall End and Turner at Wedgwood do got a lot of time for the Little Stoke lads, but
definitely
a bit of a struggle thus far. Ben Green, great banter, terrible drinker. But yeah, four ducks, a 1 and a 2. Not normally going to get you many wickets shared out. Ross Dearden, 4 for 10, well bowled that man. Off 4 overs, and then Endon knocked those 72 off in 11 overs. Jordan Weaver, 47 off 38, well batted. Comprehensive, I fear. Mm-hmm. Our near neighbours at Wood Lane lost. Taken some flack this week in the village of myself and Lel. relationships have not been good across the parish this week for derogatory comments towards Wood Lane. I can assure everyone listening, we are never derogatory. All we do is voice our opinion, and it's all with good humour, I promise. So if anyone is offended, you're listening to the wrong thing. and if you are offended, feel free to send me a direct message on Twitter, and then I can officially say that I've got someone trolling me. And that'd be a good laugh, because I've always kind of like thought it'd be funny to get trolled. I've never been popular enough to get trolled. Yeah, Castle batted first anyway, got the full 40 overs in, 205 for 7, decent effort, 5 and a bit an over.
Three-man team, mate.
Well, it doesn't matter, you've got to get him, mate, haven't you? Asif Ravis, 78 off 92, Billy Heaps, 50 off 73, and Rich Hagan, 48 off 28, that's a good effort. Who got tap? No one, really. Disappointing, I'm sure. I'd love to have given someone some grief. But what do we have? Only the 16 wides. It's a big improvement, Wood Lane. Well bowled. Just the 16 wides this week. And they were set a revised target of 162 from 33. So, about 5 and a half and over still. And failed, basically. What more can I say? No one got double figures past the number 5. And they ended up 105 all out off 30 overs. So there we go. That was our near neighbours, Wood Lane. Let me just have a look where...
Do you want to go to your other near neighbours, mate? Or
I am going to my other near neighbours next. I'm just checking some of these
figures. I'm so excited.
Right, so the absolute debacle of the day. So anyone in Newell Staffordshire listening to this will understand what the debacle was over. So, to set the scene for everyone else, during a rain delay yesterday, which we had two or three, we were watching the live scores come in, and we saw the scores roll in, and the scorecard at Audley versus Nipersley read at the time that Audley were 90-odd off about 5 overs. And when you read through the score sheet, it said that the first 2 overs of the game had gone for 36, as in both of the opening overs had gone for 6 sixes in each over. And then the first 3 balls of the 3rd over had also gone for 6. And then the second 3 balls of the 3rd over had then been a hat trick. So basically we'd had 15 balls, all of which went for 6. And then the next 3 balls had been a hat trick, which, honestly, I had to have a sit down reading it. especially looking at our former pro, Sonny, had been it for 6 sixes and over, and I just couldn't quite believe it myself. I also had to have a second take because it said that Paul Goodwin was bowling, and he was the person who got that trick.
I know Goodwin, he ain't going to be bowling, is he? Let's be fair.
No. He didn't keep, though, yesterday.
James Abbott does, doesn't he, now?
But I will say, I was still very surprised to see that he potentially bowled. However, play cricket turned out to be a real spoil sport, and none of it was true. But Audley did get a mammoth 218 for 5 off their 40. Jack Redman was 36, Rob Emmings was a brief 67, and Ricardo Gordon, the pro, was a brief 48. A decent effort. The figures weren't great, but they were nowhere near as bad as I originally thought. And Nipersley fell well short in the end, 126. So actually, no, they weren't that far off, because they were set a revised total. 157 was what they were set off 25, which is a decent lick, to be fair. And they ended up 126 off the last over, so about 30 short in the end. A decent start, though, by Louis Washington and Sam Wilcox. So I bet Audley would have been worried when they sailed to 83 for 1. But then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 ducks then followed. So what the others were messing about at, I have no idea. So Division 1 then, the picture in Division 1, shall I say. No surprises here from me. Alworth topped the tree, one of probably the only clubs in all 9 divisions that are 4 from 4. Because they were one of only 2 or 3 teams to actually get a game in and win last week. So they're 4 from 4, top of the tree. And they've also put 15 points between them and Endon in second. No surprises for me to see Endon up there. Good team. Hemeath level on points with second place with 57. Then we've got Nipersley. Surprise package for me. 2 out of 4 with 2 losses, but they've creeped their way up to 50 points. Then we've got Audley with 48, Eccleshire with 48, Castle with 43. Leeset with 39, Sandyford keeping the head above water, well above water, with 38 points. Wood Lane have sneaked in. They've lost all 4 games, but still picked up 35 points, so they're not in the bottom 3. And then we're left with Little Stoke and Blyth, who are just starting to put a bit of distance between them and the rest, with 27 and 15 points. Another weird situation where Blyth have won a game, but are in the bottom two behind someone who hasn't. So Wood Lane have picked up 35 bonus points, which is a very, very good effort thus far. I predict, mate, tight at the top of that division. Very tight. Moving forward.
Yeah.
Alworth through Castle are separate. Well, let's go Ending through Castle are separated by 14 points. So second to seventh, separated by less than a win. So
yeah,
getting a bit tight at the top there.
Just a bit.
Let's move on to Division 2. Don't really want to talk about Division 2.
As you say, is this going to be brief by any chance? Or
it's going to be brief. Double reasons for me on a personal level. All Sage and Barlaston, 30 over game from what I can tell here. All Sage 143 for 9. Not a bad effort in 30 overs, that 143 for 9. Rowey doing the bulk of the damage with 32 off 26, but also 36 extras. So extras top scored in that one. However, 6 penalty runs, so they're obviously an overshort by my reckoning. 12 no balls is never good. I want to know who bowled those no balls. Joey Sharp bowled 6 of them.
Not had a good day. Unlucky lad.
You know, where the others have come from, though, I don't know, unless they obviously went for more runs. 36 extras, top scored in that innings.
Nice.
Big news of the day, really, for Barlaston was that Tom Taylor played. Leicester without a game. Tom Taylor played. Didn't bowl, but did lead them home with the bat with 52. Brian Sims with 46 as well, and a quite comfortable victory, really. 144 knocked him off in 20 overs, which All Sage will be disappointed in that, but always helps when you can just call on a first class cricketer, one of the lads.
Yeah, does him help, does it?
Yeah, that's a very, very decent effort. I also noticed that Rowe didn't bowl, so I can only imagine that either his heart fell out or his hamstring went, one of the two. He's going to hate me if he ever. He's going to hate me if he ever listens to that. But he's funny, yeah. So I'm just going to leave it there. Yeah, that's that one. Cavs Wall Porthill. Porthill finally got a win on the board. I'd imagine this would have been a pretty good game, to be honest. And I'm surprised by Porthill bringing it out of the bag. Although I did tip them to do pretty well at the start of the season. I've been pretty impressed by Cavs Wall so far. Porthill made themselves up to 128 for 7 off 23, basically 20-20. Ben Warren under 59, Kayla with 20, nothing else much to write home about. Pretty steady bowling figures, no one got smacked, which is nice. Then just a bit of a struggle for Caverswall with the bat, 111 for 9 off 23. So ended up 17 short in what's basically 2020.
Can I give a shout out?
Go on.
Please. Big Adam Ralphs, what a man.
Ralphsy. He's changed the game for 19 off 5. That's a great effort in a 2020, basically, including the big wicket of Big Iraq.
Yeah.
He failed one off 4.
That's a fair notch to go onto your bedpost there, Ralphsy.
Yeah.
There's only a small difference between the 5'2" blonde haired Ralphsy and Big Iraq, isn't there?
Yeah. That's a good one. Take that every day. only 2 or 3 people in double figures, to be honest, and one of them batted 11. So there you go. Result of the day, really, in Division 2.
Massively.
Oh,
result of the whole North Staffs League for me, mate. I'm going to be honest with you.
No, don't say that. I don't know. It's going to fucking pain me to say. Norton Ailes versus Mia Heath. Norton Ailes sailed the way to 194 off 34. I'd hasten to add that they probably thought that that was completely comfortable at that stage of the game. Jack Furnival, 63. And then also James Pringle with 47 off 15, which is an absurd strike rate of 313. God.
Come on.
Mia Heath then knocked off a revised total off about 15 overs. Fair dues. Zach Hill, 55 off 38. Well done, 5 sixes. Jake Heath with 30. He will forgive me for not mentioning, but my cousin Nick was in that Mia Heath team, his first team game in a long time. And absolutely chuffed to bits to say that he did not bat and did not bowl, but he won't care because he's part of a winning team. So there we go. He'll be absolutely thrilled.
It's the team that matters, mate.
Team that matters. I think he pulled his hamstring, which to me is a clearer sign as any that he's too old. So, yeah, I'll get him back by just saying that, really. But, yeah, absolutely unbelievable win in a shortened game. And Norton and Ailes' heads presumably were falling off at some point because God help him. Yeah. God bless. Stafford Sandbach. Stafford Sandbach looks a good game. Stafford 171 off 34. It's not a bad day. Not a bad effort from them. Everyone chipping in. Dave Foster with 53. And Sandbach chased down. Not a bad target of 107 off 23 overs. Only losing one wicket. Stu Burrows, widely tipped by someone to me online, of signing of the summer, 42. Gareth Lennon with 41.
Have you seen the no-look six from him, by the way, doing the rounds on Twitter?
I've seen no-look sixes, no less, actually. there is another one.
Decent.
So, yeah, decent effort there. Very, very decent effort indeed. So, Sandbach remain unbeaten, I believe. And then we finish off with Silverdale and Rue Park. 18 over game by the looks of things here. Silverdale made the way up to 125 for 5. Alex McChristie 52. Milo with 31. Probably a brief one if you know Milo. And they were quite comfortable in the end. Rue Park could only muster 68. Not much to write home about. So, yeah.
We've missed the result, Jono. Come on. Let's do it.
No, we've not missed any
results. Do you want me to talk through it so you don't have to say anything that may be held against you as evidence and all that bollocks?
Nah, fuck it. Go on then, I'll do it. I've never been shy of sticking my foot in it. the boys from Bignall End were playing Oakmoor away yesterday. There was quite a bit of rain about, but after we started, so the first shit bit was we had to field for the full 40 overs. Oakmoor got 178 for 8. Not a bad effort, to be fair. Off 40 overs from them. Laddie batted 3. Can't remember his name. Adam Keats batted well, 57. Chanced his arm a little bit, but it was a wet wicket, so didn't give us a chance, but I wouldn't have been surprised on a different day if one went to hand somewhere. Their captain dug in, hung around for a long time, got 40-odd. And then we pulled it back really well. Their pro, who didn't look much of a batsman, just kept like slog sweeping to the short boundary and got hold of a couple in the last couple of overs, so he ended up with 37 off 28, but other than that, I don't think it was a really bad effort from us, especially considering we knew we were only going to be batting for about 25, 30 overs. I think our pro picked up 3 for 36 off 8. Not bad bowling off spin in the pouring rain with a wet ball.
Yeah,
and basically bowling into puddles, so we pulled it back quite well. Yeah, then our innings was when the four started. We went off like an absolute steam train. I think we were about 30 off 2 overs. And then we just tried to twat everything for some bizarre reason. Lost a few wickets, came off a rain. We ended up chasing 150 off 30, which we thought we were all right having a bash at. And then, yeah. Didn't agree with the revised Duckworth-Lewis total when we went back out. It seemed a bit high. We lost 10 more overs, so we got reduced to 21 overs, I think it was. So we lost another 10 overs. And our target only came down by 12, which seemed a little bit light to me. But the umpires rule all in this game. We ended up about 23 short in the end. We got bowled out going for it. We needed like 24 off the last two overs. So we got bowled out going for it at the end. So, yeah. It is what it is. Picked up 6 points, which is more than we'd have picked up if we'd have just fucked it off when it was pissing down. True. So, I think we probably think that we owe them one when we see them again back at our place. So, yeah, we'll see. Pro finally got in on the act, hit a clean ball a couple of times, so that was pleasing. And he got himself 3 for, so. And I can't believe Aid's not here to talk us through his 29 off 18 ball.
Yeah,
he was winning as the game until he got out. So whilst he's not here, I'll just stick the knife in and say that we would have won if he'd have stayed in.
So you did. So
what he was doing, I don't know. I also hit a six. My first ball went for six. So
got a T20 career still, you have, tell you.
Yeah. I actually batted in double figures on Saturday as well, which was embarrassing. thrilled, absolutely thrilled. That actually puts Oakmore top of our league, which Chris Travers could be right. Fair dues. He knows what he's talking about. I don't.
Yeah, we don't, clearly.
So the two unbeaten sides are the ones at the top, Sandbach and Oakmore leading the tree, followed by Silverdale, Norton Ales, Caverswall, Barlaston, then us. Port Hill then, Stafford, Allsager, Mere Heath and Roe Park. Weird situation again. Mere Heath still in the bottom two despite winning a game. Allsager haven't won a game but are above them. It's all very tight. So 18 points separates bottom to seventh, us. So we are basically as many points off bottom as we are top. We're halfway. So
interesting.
So very, very open so far.
Definitely.
Very, very open indeed. Disappointing day. Very disappointing day. Thought we left some points out there yesterday, which is a shame.
Be back stronger next week, though, Jono.
Back stronger next week, yeah. Sam Batch at home next week. Be a good game. Well, we gave him a good game last year. So, should we talk through the wedge, lads, anyway, first? Getting the first win on the board.
You want to, mate?
Yeah, go on then, Turner. Talk us through it.
Well,
82 all-out plays, 85 for 5.
Yeah, I mean, it was damp. We had our game called off at Kids Grove against Newcastle. Let's we speak about that the better. Turned up back to just in time to watch us get underway. Good bowling display. Gaz Kinsey got in on the act early, and then I've got to give it to him, Ollie Wilson. Little three-for, bowling pretty decent. And then backed up by, wow, one of the silliest run-outs I've ever seen, by the way. He'd ran out for a duck as well, the poor lad was. I'm not joking you, Jono. They caught the lad at who got run out as well. He called yes for the two, or at least I think he was the one who called for it. The ball was in nearly our captain's hands, probably 30 yards at most away from the stumps. He'd already got his hot arm pulled back to throw, and he shouted yes for a second.
And he didn't. That was his first ball as well.
Yeah, wasn't a good run from him, I'll be honest. Rizzy got, I think he got one, Ram got a couple, Big Mace got a couple. And it was all looking rosy, mate. And then we batted, and we were 6 for 3 at one stage.
Yeah, 6 for 1, 6 for 2, 6 for 3.
Yeah, it was a collapse. It was a classic Wedgwood Dominoes collapse. But fair play to Rizzy. Fair play to Ollie Wilson. I've got to give it to him. 21 off 15. He doesn't bat slowly, shall we say. It's very much everything or nothing. So fair play to him. And then Rizzy, alongside Ram, got us over the line just about. And yeah, first big win on the board. So well done to the boys. I've got to give it to them. I backed him. And I'm glad I did, because otherwise he'd have been giving me.
I think we all backed the boys last week. Let's fire through these results then.
Yeah.
Lewis Bacon failed, therefore Crewe lost. quite comfortably, I might add.
Yeah.
Eccleshall proving that their second team are better than Audley's second team. Meeking's second team also proving that they are not as good as Longton's second team. But then again, if I look at Longton's second team, it basically looks like a first team from
It's pretty strong.
Has gone by. It's a pretty good second team, I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
Looks a good game though. Meeking's second's 148 for 8. Longton knocked them off in what's basically a 20-20. Looked a really, really good game there. Zaffer 8-ball's the big one. Duck didn't get any. That was a big one.
Yeah.
Looks a good game, that one. Modest and Alton seconds, lost out to Hemi seconds again. Pretty good effort that, 153. Modest with 46 for 7. Hemi looks a decent second team, that. Ben Rogerson, Ben Lucas, a couple of others. Very, very good second team, that. Mm-hmm. And then we finish off with Stone and Hanford. Stone and Hanford. Hanford, 135 for 9. Stone knocked off their revised total in 16 overs. They only needed 58 and they ended up getting 69. Don't know how that worked, but they did. Because that would be 11 more than they actually needed. So
the only thing I can guess is it rained. Were they ahead of the DLS and it's rained? They never got back on?
potentially, and they were ahead. That could be.
That's would the only way it. I can call it.
That would mean that someone's done something correct with Duckworth Lewis, and I'm not really speaking about things being done correctly with Duckworth Lewis this weekend. Yeah, nothing really to write home about for Hanford, but then Stone, Rich Harvey. Would be wrong of me to not mention someone in my work trust, captain, experienced, left-hand nudger, Rich Harvey, seen him over the line. Yeah.
You well keep paying for that promotion, Jono.
Always, mate. Always. It's always an arse to kiss somewhere. So, it's the battle of the second teams, really. At the top, Cheadle and Eccleshall lead the way. It's all very tight, mind. Very, very tight in Division 3. Mm-hmm. Literally 12 points separating top to halfway. And then bringing up the rear, we've got Audley Seconds and Hanford. Crew level on points. Modestal only 2 points above, and Wedgie is sneaking 3 points above. So
yeah.
Anywhere from bottom, it's essentially Division 3 starting to look like two mini leagues, seventh to yeah. bottom and first to sixth. So competitive nonetheless.
Definitely.
And thus completes our roundup of the North Staffs South Cheshire Leagues there, Turner.
Shall we do a quick prediction round of what's going to happen next week? Or have we given up because we... To be fair, we've got more right this week than last week.
We have got more right this week, yes. What, so I'm just going to shout out the game. We're going to pick a team. No predictions, just a team.
Team, yeah.
Wear a sleeve. Let's go full Aid Lalo inspired. Fuck everything else.
Wow.
Just give me a name. Right, Turner. Bagnall Norton versus Longton. Go.
Longton.
I'll agree. Cheadle versus Burslem.
Burslem.
I'm going to go Cheadle just because Burslem are playing us and they're only going to win one game next weekend. Meekins Checkley.
Meekins.
I'm going to go Meeks as well. Gone on the board now, aren't they?
Yeah.
Leek Ashcombe, Moreland Derby.
Leek.
Agree. Stone Modishall.
Stone.
Got to be, Annie. It's got to be. Whitmore Porthill.
Porthill.
Can they break the jinx? They've Surely. Got to.
Come on, Johnny Hancock.
Come on, the boys. Division 1, Audley Blythe.
Audley, sorry, Toby.
Agree. Bowl better, Toby. And wear a helmet if the pro's bowling at you, pal. Eccleshall Wood Lane.
Eccleshall, sadly, for Wood Lane. There's
nothing sadly about it. Alwyth Hemheath could be a cracker.
Game be a cracker, but Alwyth.
I'm going to go Banksy and Emmy. Don't know why, just got a feeling. Nipers Lee Endon.
Endon.
Agree. Castle Leeset. Be a good game, man.
Castle.
Agree. Sandyford Little Stoke.
Sandyford.
Sorry, lads.
Sorry, yeah, Little Stoke.
Agree.
Come on, Twiggy. Come on, Nick.
Division 2, All Sage of Silverdale.
Silverdale.
The Big Millen lads versus Sandbach. I'm not taking
the boys.
Part of you.
Boys, you're backing boys, us. Boys. Of course I am. The biggie be boys.
Good.
Go on, lads.
Be a good game, that will. I hope we give them a good game. Be a good game. Meerith Row Park. How can you not back the lads?
Meerith, mate.
You've got to. Norton and Ailes Oakmore. That'll be a good game.
That will be a good game.
This is like choosing between Marriage. This is literally like choosing between shagging your mum or your sister. I don't know who to choose. Oh, God.
I actually like Norton and Ailes lads more than Norton and Ailes.
Yeah, they bought stickers off us, the Norton Ailes lads. So thanks, Mike Dyer and the lads. So, yeah, we're going to go Norton and Ailes. Porthill Barlaston. That'll also be a good game, by the way.
Porthill.
I'm going to go Barlaston. Stafford Caverswall.
Caverswall. Stafford. Bigger Rack's going to have a day on the road.
Yeah, if a Rack gets hold of it on that highway, then expect fireworks. Right, Division 3, Checkley Audley.
Checkley.
Crew Modishall.
Modishall.
Ooh, Lewis Bacon's failing then. Hanford Meekins.
Meekins.
Hemheath versus Stone.
Hemheath. You know Hemheath.
Agree. Longton Eccleshall.
Longton.
The Boys versus Cheadle.
The Boys every day of the week, mate.
Absolutely right. And thus rounds up our predictions. Answered on a postcard. No trolling, please.
Obviously, bit of cup action as well next Sunday, Jono.
Yeah, a bit of cup action, mate. We've made it through. This is one of our longest cup runs ever. Unfortunately, we've not actually played around yet.
So you've got Burslem, haven't you? You're at home as well against them.
We are.
Our boys are away at Knipersley, I believe, so I might have a little flip between Bignall and Knipersley next Sunday, as long as the sun's out.
Sun's always out in God's country, mate.
Yeah, got a feeling Knipersley might be favourites in our game. But I'm backing the boys for another shot, mate. I'm going to back you. Dude's going to clean up Zen Malik, honest.
I'm not interested in Zen Malik, mate. I'm just interested to see how Rhodesy goes.
Is he going to score a ton against his old boys? Is he going to be that man?
Yeah, he's going to get 400 on his own.
He's had a good day, if so. Right, well, that's the North Staff's bit done. So, last bit. It was going to be Room 101 or Listener Correspondence. It's going to be both, and they're both going to come from Jim Amis, friend of the podcast. Always sends us in a bit of feedback, but always sends us a good question or two. First of all, changing rooms are back as of next week, you're going to have to select which two or three teammates you want to get changed with, which could be an interesting decision in itself. Jim asked, though, Jono, what is it you have missed most about changing rooms? He said it was pissing on his teammates in the showers. I know that was Aid's biggest miss.
Yeah, it's up there, mate. What have I missed most about the changing rooms?
Yeah.
I can't say pissing on each other in showers because that's a safeguarding concern. So, I'm going to say changing room cricket during a rain delay.
Good shout. I think it's either that or, I must admit, and I know you shouldn't say it, but how funny is it when you go in the changing room, you go to pad up and the lad who's already out is sat in there and he's either punching holes in the wall or he looks like he's about to burst into tears.
Yeah, always a good laugh. I'm a big fan of it. Unlucky, mate.
Yeah, unlucky, mate. Did you think, what did you think was wrong with it? Do you think you're out? And they tell you, I think it stayed low, but it's at the top or off stump. Yeah, love that. And then we've got a Room 101 from Jim. Tees are obviously going to be back in some form. Jim doesn't want Tees back. He says he's fed up with picking cucumber and tomato out of his sandwiches. He doesn't like sharing food. Joey doesn't share food, as they say. He doesn't like tapas. It's a no from him. I'm going to agree with him in part. I want to get rid of traditional Tees in the middle and have some form of food option after the game would be my preference.
Very interesting. So maybe you'll be interested to hear what our plan is for the foreseeable.
Go for it.
So we shall not be providing a traditional cricket tea. We have decided, aka the committee, which is headed by me, so it was my idea. I'm just throwing it out there. We're not providing a traditional cricket tea. What we're doing is we're going to offer players from both sides pay-as-you-eat takeaway food throughout the day, which will be available including through the first innings, second innings, and also after the game, and also during the traditional tea break. We will be offering chips, chip baps, sausages, gravy. Nice, simple food, nice little warmer, and something to tide you over. I think we're going to charge £1.50 a chip bap or something like that. A bit of gravy if you want some. Nice little warmer, easy for the ladies to prep for us. Nice and cheap for the club to get in, so we're cutting down on costs and just think that'll be a nice simple way of getting over. I mean, our tea room isn't the biggest, so we were looking at options of having to go and eat tea and then have to go and eat it outside. Created a lot of problems with picking up your food off a shared table, so we are still keeping our tea room closed. We're going to have a serving hatch, order what you want, go and eat it elsewhere. Happy days. We think that'll be quick, easy, and a reasonable option for everyone moving forward. So that's what we're doing.
Sounds like a good plan to me. I think I might need to come play for you instead, because that sounds much more what I want. I'd love a chip bap after. Feel first, go out and bat, get out. Right, I'll have a chip bap. Sounds like a dream to me, mate, I'll be honest with you. So no complaints from me in terms of doing that. So what we'll do is we'll put it up to a vote. I think we'll give three options this week. You can either throw teas all together in the bin, you can throw traditional teas in the bin, or you can keep it as it is, or as it should be, should we say, which is having the traditional cricket tea buffet in the middle break. Right, I think that's us done, Jono.
Happy days.
We're there. I think we're all done. It's been peaceful, hasn't it, right, the ginger one, I tell you.
Mm.
I mean, I've missed even some of his bizarre comments at times, like, but, you know, it's been peaceful. I'm sure he'll be back next week if he can bring himself to not get pissed all day Sunday. Right, as always, please follow and subscribe to us. Give us a review. Make sure you share us with anyone who's daft enough to listen to us. I can't believe that we've got something like nearly 3,000 downloads now. We're only 18 episodes in. That's madness because we talk utter shit. Woodstock, give them a look if you need any kit at all. They've got so much good kit on the go at the moment as well, so make sure you go and have a look. And then, Jono, as always, give it a shout-out. Give the bat stickers a shout-out.
Yeah, it's just gone a bit quiet over the last couple of weeks, hasn't it? So,
The rain.
It's the rain, mate. Yeah, it's the rain. So, get yourselves a bat sticker. I've still got some here. We've got plenty left in stock. So
plenty.
I know some of the Burslem lads have got theirs, so plan on getting some pictures with them on Sunday. We've had an absolutely amazing turn. You don't actually know this yet, but we've had amazing sign sent through to us for free by Cardiac Risk in the Young. Still hopeful that Travis might give us a little write-up if I send him something through to put us in the Sentinel. That'd be absolutely amazing.
Please, Chris.
So get yourselves a bat sticker, donate to the GoFundMe page, the Danny Hughes Memorial Fund in support of Cardiac Risk in the Young. Really important one to myself and the club and the local area. So thank you for Turner for letting us support it on the podcast. We're up to a few hundred quid already. A couple of clubs have already dedicated like that they'll have some when, as and when we see them. Some clubs have already had a couple of sheets off us, so really appreciate it from them. Really appreciate the support. So I want us to get to 500 quid by the end of the season. That's what I want.
No pressure.
So I've seen a couple. I don't think there'll be anyone from Oakmore putting that one on there, but I have played against people who didn't know who I was. And we still had the sticker on the back, which is quite nice to see. So appreciate everyone who's supported us so far and keep them coming in, really.
Good stuff. Right, we'll be back next week. Might have a guess, we might not. We'll see. Keep an eye on Twitter, you'll soon find out. Have a good week. Let's hope the rain stays away. And we'll see you all next week. Have a good one.
Adios.
Down at Third Man, the cricket podcast, proudly supported by Woodstock Cricket.